Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your speaker, Chris McCann. If you'd like more information or to hear more studies, visit our website at www.ebiblefellowship.com. And now with your evening Bible study, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 24 of Revelation chapter 9, and we're going to be reading verse 10. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And if you've been following along, you realize that this is a continuation of the description of the locusts that were released by the Lord Jesus Christ in the day of judgment. And these locusts, as we've mentioned repeatedly, are types and figures of God's elect as Christ comes to judge the world and all the saints with him. And yet we do not deny, we don't try to avoid the difficult language that is found here describing these locusts. And sometimes the language leads us in the direction of the enemy of God, or it seems to be describing those that are not identified with the truth at all. And that's how it is with verse 10 of Revelation chapter 9. They had tails like unto scorpions. Now, when we search the Bible for help with finding out what tails mean, well, we quickly find that tails in the Bible are associated with false prophets. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, and this is the chapter where in the first 15 or so verses, God is describing the blessings of obedience, and then following that, after verse 15, to the end of the chapter, he goes into detail concerning the consequences of disobedience, the curses that come upon those that disobey his word. And it says in Deuteronomy 28 in verse 13, "And Jehovah shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of Jehovah thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them." So here, again, the context is the blessings of obedience. And if you're obedient, well, Jehovah will make thee the head and not the tail. And a little further on, in Deuteronomy 28, it says in verse 43, "The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail." And again, at this point in the chapter, it is the curses of rebelling against that come upon those that rebel against God. And so if you rebel against God, you're not going to be the head, thou shalt be the tail. So that, of course, none of that is saying anything good about the tail. In Isaiah chapter 9, God makes one of those statements that helps define spiritually the meaning of a word, where he says in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 13, "For the people turneth not unto me, unto him that smiteth them, neither do they seek Jehovah of hosts. Therefore Jehovah will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient and honorable, he is the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail." Well, that definitely sums things up. It is biblical definition. As we look at the meaning of tail, we must consider Isaiah 9:15, the prophet that teacheth lies, he is the tail. And so we, once again, in our chapter in Revelation, we find locusts that are like unto scorpions, and they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. So nothing good there, and we need to understand, as we search the Bible for the word tail, that it is somehow identifying with false prophets. But remember what we learned when we went to Luke chapter 10. And we went to Luke 10 because of the language of scorpions. And scorpion, like the word tail, has negative connotations. The word scorpion identifies with the enemies of God. We read in Luke 10 in verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So here the Lord Jesus is identifying serpents and scorpions with the power of the enemy. And that's significant, because what do we find in Revelation 9? But locusts that are like unto scorpions. And what about later in the chapter? Well, there's the 200 million horsemen. And let's read a little later, beginning in verse 16 of chapter 9 of Revelation, where God is describing these 200 million horsemen, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. So here we find the parallel description of what God is saying earlier in the chapter, that is, the locusts who have tails like unto scorpions are basically just another picture of the 200 million horsemen that have tails like serpents. They're describing the same spiritual truth. And in Luke 10, God speaks of the power of the enemy, and he speaks of them as scorpions and serpents. And so here, the Lord breaks up that picture. The locusts identify with the scorpions, the 200 million with the serpents. Okay, but why? Why is God doing this? Well, we discussed this before. We have the answer to the reason why, but and we've mentioned this before, but it's good for us to go over it again. Because when we do the typical comparing of scripture and we look up a word like tail or a scorpion or a serpent, it leads us to false prophets, to the power of the enemy. And yet the context, the day of judgment, and what we've learned from the rest of the Bible concerning God's program for Judgment Day, that it is not a time when Satan and his emissaries are going forth victoriously, destroying and wrecking all that is before them. No, that was God's program for the Great Tribulation. That was his plan, to destroy the churches by empowering Satan and his forces to overcome the saints of God or the professed saints within the churches and congregations of the world. That is not the same program for the judgment of all the world. Now Satan is the object of wrath, and likewise his forces, his emissaries, are the targets of the wrath of God. Okay, we realize that, but how does that help us to discern what God is saying here, to understand why the true believers, if indeed they are typified by locusts, and why the true believers, if they are indeed typified by 200 million horsemen, why are they associated with serpents and scorpions, and why the language of tails that identifies with false prophets? Well, again, the answer is that one thing all false gospels and false prophets have in common, have had in common, and continue to have in common, is that their gospel has no power to save. There doesn't matter what particular error that they stress, what particular false understanding they believe in that has led people astray. Yes, there's a wide spectrum of erroneous doctrine and gospels out there, but everyone, no matter what the religion, no matter what the gospel, has this one thing in common. They have never had the power to save. Now God's people have the true gospel. They hold to the true word of God. And all through history, while God was accomplishing his program of salvation, while he was evangelizing the world to find and to save his lost sheep of the house of Israel, well, the truth of the word of God stood apart and vastly different from all those false gospels, because God's word had power to save, unlike any of them. So certainly there was a big difference in the true gospel concerning salvation and all other gospels. But in the day of judgment, when the Lord brings judgment by closing the door of heaven, by putting out the light of the gospel, and by ending his salvation program, because he's completed it, he saved everyone to be saved, there's no one left anywhere in the world whose name was recorded in Christ's book, the Lamb's Book of Life, and therefore the salvation program of God has come to a close. And yet it is God's plan to leave his people in the world, where they will continue to operate the same way, continue to study the word of God, the Bible, continue to share truth. It's even God's plan that they are to feed his sheep in this very same time of judgment. And therefore that requires that they share the things that they learn from the word of God. Yet as they do so, there will be no salvation in their message. There will be no salvation possible for the hearers of that message. And this is why they had tails like unto scorpions. They're like unto all the false prophets or false gospels, because now no one has any power to save. And so now even the true believers are lacking that power that had always been present, but now is removed because there is no one left to be saved. And then it goes on to say they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Now the Greek word translated as sting is the same Greek word that's translated as prick a couple of times. We'll just read one instance because it, in both places, it's describing the same event. In Acts chapter 9, we read of Saul of Tarsus, who is journeying to Damascus to persecute Christians. And it says in Acts 9 verse 3, "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And this is repeated in Acts chapter 26 as the Apostle Paul is recounting what had happened, and so he uses the same word. And so this is the word prick or pricks is a translation of the same Greek word translated as stings. There were stings in their tails or pricks in their tails. Well, what does this mean though? What is this, prick that the apostle or Saul of Tarsus was kicking against? Well, the language of kicking helps us, I think, to understand better what the Lord Jesus is saying. If we go to the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 2, 1 Samuel 2, we read of something similar. It says in beginning in verse 27, "And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, Thus saith Jehovah, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore, kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thou thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people." Now here, God is faulting Eli, the high priest of Israel in that day, because he permitted his sons to do things contrary to the commandments of God concerning the sacrifice and offerings. And so verse 29 of 1 Samuel 2, notice how the Lord says, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering." And that is the similar idea. How'd that go in Acts 9? "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And here the word pricks is added, or sting. And to kick against is language indicating that Saul is going contrary to the commandments of God. And therefore the commandments of God would be the pricks or the stings. And that fits in and relates with what we read in 1 Corinthians 15, where the same Greek word is translated as sting here. In 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 55, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." Now here, God is connecting the law to the sting of death, or how's it go again? The sting of death is sin. And that's because men break the law of God. They violate and transgress the statutes, the testimonies of God's word. And therefore, the strength of sin is the law. It is through the law of God that we gain knowledge of sin. It is through the breaking of the law of God that one is stung by sin and will die as a result of sin. And so the sting of God's law is associating the law of God or the commandments of God with the sting. And I think that allows us to understand that when God is saying they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, this is referring to the true believers, God's people, who are bringing forth the truth of the Word of God, the Bible, as always, as God opens up their understanding and their eyes to these things, and they share these things. But as they do so, it is like a sting from the law of God, the commandments of God, or pricks to those that are hearing these things. And, well, it goes on to say at the end of verse 10, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Their power, their authority was granted by God. God's people, typified by locusts, typified by the 200 million, are given authority. We have authority. We have God-given power to share these things from the Bible during the duration of Judgment Day, which is typified by the figure of 5 months. However long Judgment Day lasts, which we believe there is an excellent likelihood it will be for 1,600 days, concluding October 7th in 2015, yet for the entire period, the prolonged period of Judgment Day, beginning May 21, 2011, through October 7th, 2015, if we're correct, we are granted power by God. Just as the beast had power to reign for 42 months, or the duration of the Great Tribulation, God's people reign with Christ, who is ruling with a rod of iron in the Day of Judgment. And this is a result of the will of God.
Thanks for joining us for eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies. You can hear these studies Monday through Friday over Pal Talk, Skype, eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over your phone. For more information or to hear other studies, visit www.ebiblefellowship.com. Until our next study, may the Lord's perfect will be done.